Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
4 the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. FA Trophy this weekend, and we talked to 3 managers, all looking to pit their wits as the second qualifying round gets underway. First up, a return for the Benfield boys. Carl Withers and Jamie McClurg took their small village side from Berkshire all the way to Wembley last term in the FA Vars. And having stepped up to step four with the club this season, they're about to embark on another Wembley dream. Also at step four, Lee Attenborough, who tells about the cruel twist of fate that ended his playing career in non-league, but that opened a door to management. And now 4 years in at Loughborough Dynamo at the ripe old age of 31, he's pushing for promotion from the Northern Premier Midlands division, as well as taking on league rivals Sporting Kelso in this weekend's trophy action. Later on, we're joined by the non-league paper editor-at-large, Matt Badcock, as he previews the big action this weekend in the National League, as well as chat around 2 big managerial changes this week at Step 2, as well as a preview of this weekend's newspaper. Before all that, though, a new feature which I hope to become a regular thing. Volunteers. They keep non-league ticking, with most people not realising the work and the effort that goes in to making a club tick along. But if those volunteers weren't there, their absence would very quickly be noted. Over lockdown, Sean Holland launched a new initiative called Non-League Volunteers to link potential helpers with clubs and vice versa. And he tells us how people can get involved and learn a bit more about the wonders of the non-league game. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So we're going to start this week with a new voice. Now, back in lockdown, this man came to my attention as he tried to rally the communities up and down the country to get behind their local non-league clubs. Not with drums, not with songs, but with a little bit of help here and there. Just like the public service we know and love at FA Cup Fakfawa, I'd like to think that at Non-League Volunteers is set to make a difference for many more years to come. So to tell us more about how it came about and where it's heading, it's a welcome to the Non-League Football Show to Sean Holland, founder at Non-League Volunteers. Welcome, Sean.
Hi, Tim. You right?
I'm good. Apart from, I think I've got someone else's teeth in today, but you know, I think that's the, you know, that's the wonders of being a volunteer, isn't it? You don't have to be perfect to be a non-league volunteer, do you?
No, and there's so many different roles out there, and I think sometimes some people don't realise like the skills that they could offer on a day-to-day basis and can like help a club so much. So, yeah, anyone can get involved.
Yeah, and I've been banging on for years on this show, as a in print, you know, wherever I can, on other radio shows as well, that, you know, just half an hour a week from, you know, even 10% of the crowd that we get on a Saturday would go a long, long way at any non-league club. But so, I mean, how did you come about setting up Non-League Volunteers?
Well, for me, I've always been a bit of a football geek, and I've loved my football, and not necessarily like non-league, to be honest. The main reason I really like got involved in non-league was I moved from Manchester to Birmingham a few years ago, and it was just because it was a new city, getting involved and checking out like local clubs, and from that really I started speaking to clubs and offering my services, because day-to-day I'm a project manager, so it was just really like I could help clubs behind the scenes and show them like the best practice from like the construction industry that I work in. So then like lockdown came, and I just thought, do you know what? There's probably more people like me who want to get involved. And that's why I set up the website.
And you know, music to my ears, a project manager in the building industry. I mean, that up and down the country, there's probably chairmen going, oh, exactly what we need. Because... you know, all us, you know, involved with a non-league football club, we've all got dreams, we've all got ambitions, but sometimes you just need someone with a little bit of know-how, just to, you know, to guide you in the right direction, to make everything a lot more efficient. If I'm constantly also banging on about non-league football clubs need to be run more like a business. And that's where it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has to be financially rewarded. It just means that we need to tap into people's experience and expertise.
Definitely. I think the one big one really that I thought, if I could have created this a year earlier, was because of the COVID pandemic, I know so many risk analysts and people had to write COVID risk plans and stuff like that. And it was, if you could marry a club up with a person who just does that day to day, they can just do it like without thinking, like a risk analysis. And it's just trying to marry clubs up with people with the skills.
Yeah, and so you've featured various volunteering roles up and down the country. Have you had decent feedback from the clubs?
Yeah, clubs get in touch, and I've had quite a few clubs who will get back in touch with me and say, "Oh, can you just put the word out for this specific role?" So clubs do get back in touch, and yeah, I have heard people get back to me and thank me for basically putting them in touch.
Yeah, and one thing, I said to you off air, I wanted you to bring you on at the start of a new sort of campaign for volunteering within the non-league football show, and try and just show that, as you mentioned, the diversity and the different opportunities that are available to people. You don't even need to like football, really. Don't need to like non-league football. We're going to speak to a few people that are in different roles within football, and also show how then that can take you on to maybe a professional, a fully paid role, either within that club or further on. I mean, effectively, I began as a journalist writing about non-league football. Now, my wife might differ as to whether that's a career or not that I've fallen into, but from there, everything else has stemmed. The people that work for me within my business tend to be people that I worked with or met alongside in non-league football. There's a great community there that you can tap into for your own personal benefit as well if you volunteer and help a club.
Yeah, definitely. And one big thing that I'm starting to push now is really students. So say graphic design students who want to get their work out there. It's always fantastic for their media students who want to do a bit of videography. So there's plenty, and it's invaluable experience. It's experience sometimes you could work with a club and get a role that you never dreamed that you'd get, and then all of a sudden you've got that experience and it can go straight on the CV.
Yeah, and I think we're fairly proud on the Non-League Football Show for some of our alumni that have sort of helped us out over the decade plus. One of the things one of your retweets this week, which I think we retweeted too, was trying to show the diversity, and it's not all just about non-league, was the official application process to become a volunteer at the Women's Euro 2022 competition here in Blighty next summer. It shows you can... that's a big thing for your CV.
Oh, definitely. And I've just moved away from Birmingham, but applications closed recently for the Commonwealth Games next year. So the opportunities you can get in volunteering, because really with me, my background was when I was a lot younger, was in music. And I got involved in music events behind the scenes. And I just got to meet people that I'd never dreamed that I'd meet within music and radio, just by volunteering. And it's network. It just starts networking that way.
Yeah, and it's another international break this weekend too, and that's often a time when clubs trying to get football fans from other clubs along to their games. It's always great, but I always think it creates a somewhat different atmosphere from the average weekend. It's not actually representative of what it's like in non-league. So if you were advising a club now, what do you think that the best way for them to attract volunteers is? I think clubs need to think out of the box.
Yeah, and there's different ways. I think a lot of clubs probably need help with the social media and just drumming a lot of attention. So if you can get someone who's involved in social media or videography or a graphic designer, who can just do something for them, it's probably easy, but the work that they do that they find easy can help a club just so much and get more people through the doors.
Yeah, and I can vouch for the fact that sometimes if you're involved with a non-league football club, There's a lot of learning on the hoof and a lot of reading to do to try. And it would be so much easier just to have that expert just to call upon. And I'm constantly talking about we need a crack commando squad, ideally at the FA, because it's so everybody's paid and it comes filters down from the FA. But I'll keep banging that drum to try and get the FA to swell their numbers to help us at non-league. But I'm not sure how much success I'll ever have with that. But Sean, just talk us through how people can maybe get in touch with you, how you can help them, how you can help individuals, how you can help clubs, and how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, no problem. So the website, www.nonleaguevolunteers.co.uk. On that, there's an option where you can click on current opportunities and in non-league. And there's a map on there, and that's got, I think at the moment I've got that on there because I keep an eye on that. There's 10 clubs looking for specific roles. If a club wants to get in touch with me, you can either reach out on Twitter, so it's twitter.com or at nonleaguevol, or email sean@nonleaguevolunteers.co.uk. Just let me know a specific role or people that you're looking out for. And then I'll add that to the website and just bang the drum on social media. On the other, to flip that round, if there's anyone out there who's not involved in a club and want to almost say, like for instance, I'm a project manager, I want to help a club, how do I do it? Just get in touch with me and I'll put the word out, and I'll contact the local clubs and stuff like that. And the new thing I'm going to start doing now is almost on LinkedIn. I've set up a LinkedIn profile, and I want to start tapping into networks, or my networks of people in project management and stuff like that. So if there's any specific area, a club, don't be shy to get in touch. If it's something, even if it's just someone to guide them on best practice for holding a board meeting or anything like that, just get in touch, and I'll put the word out and I'll try and get someone to help out.
It's brilliant, and I'm pleased I got you on, Sugar. And what you're doing is fantastic, but it isn't actually anything new, because since I've been involved in non-league football, I mean, almost everybody I know has had their house painted by someone they've met in the non-league crowd, or maybe it's one of the players. There's a great non-league network, and I just think we need to tap into it more and expand it and just celebrate the wonders of volunteering across non-league.
Definitely. And like you say, celebrate it. That's one thing I really want to start doing now, is showcasing the amazing work that's going on there. Every club has a story of someone who's just been there since day one, and the work that they put in, day out, the hours that some people put in is just amazing, and it needs to be showcased.
Well, Sean Holland, non-league volunteers, thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
A pleasure, yeah. Speak to you soon.
So let's head off to speak to some managers. I say plural managers because our first slot is with joint managers. No stranger to the show after making it to the FA Vars final last time. They try the FA Trophy this weekend. It's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Joint managers at Benfield, Carl Withers and Jamie McClurg. Welcome back, guys.
How you doing, Tim?
You're all right.
I'm good. Now, this is going to be one of those interesting ones. This is a joint conversation with joint managers they tell me they're in the car. I don't know. Do joint managers even go to the bathroom together? Maybe a question that non-league fans need to know. Obviously, we followed your joy and pain last season in the FA Vars. That was just less than 6 months ago, but promotion since and the restructure, new season well underway, doing well in that. Does that FA Vars final now seem like a lifetime ago?
Yes and no. I mean, I still to this day, have them little moments wherever I am in work or at home, and just relive it and think what if. But it was a special occasion for us both, and the club and the village and everyone associated. And it was sad that we couldn't on that day get the result, but it was something to be proud of. And I think the challenge for me and Dodds this year was to build on it, and the profile of the club had been raised, and people were talking about the club, and our challenge was to then sort of go up a level and hopefully compete and do ourselves proud. And you know, like you just alluded to then, we've had a reasonable start. You know, I think our first game was probably, pick a tougher game against Basingstoke, probably one of the big hitters in the league, or, you know, well fancied. And, you know, if you looked at it on the day, we've done ourselves real justice and, you know, probably got picked, you know, probably more down to experience on the day. But, you know, from then we've gone about our business and we've managed to find our feet over the last few games, and we've now gone on a nice little run of three games where we've been unbeaten. And really the challenge now is to just keep that momentum and keep looking forward, really.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the table there, well, you're fourth at the moment, seven games in, four wins. I mean, realistically, that's a great start in that Isthmian South Central, which is it's a tough old division as well. Have you been able to keep the majority of last season's squad together to be able to do that?
I mean, yeah. The good thing about this squad is it has got a massive togetherness, well, the squad and the club and everything like that. But yeah, stepping into a new league, which is all in and around each other within an hour, I suppose, of all the teams. There's a lot of local derbies, a lot of players know each other. And yeah, we stuck with our group, but thankfully kept a lot of them. And some of them haven't played this level, so they've had to adapt. So it was always going to, me and Cole spoke at the start of the season and said, there's always going to be probably four or five that are going to have to adapt and maybe do things a little bit quicker and a little bit sharper and just learn the league a bit more. I mean, we back our team every game we play, but when you're playing a new level and you're up against more experienced players that have probably played at that level for 3 or 4 years and managers that have played that level for 3 or 4 years, our team has had to adapt and evolve very quick to give us a good start that we think we've had. I mean, every manager is going to go through the COVID thing and the injury list and people catching up with weddings and everything like that. So I don't think we'll see whereabouts everyone is in the league until probably say mid-October, November. But yeah, it's been a cracking start. The lads are giving everything and it's great to turn up to that club with everyone pushing in the same direction and wanting to learn and adapt to a new league.
Yeah, it's fairly unique as Step Four with, as you say, many local clubs, you know, for yourself, the local derby with Bracknell Town, but yeah, Uxbridge at the top of the division there, not too far, and a club that you know well. But you've also got Guernsey in your division. Well, you have, but they've not even got off to a start yet. I mean, does that sort of linger at the back of your mind as to how that's going to work?
I mean, look, we've got to play them like every other team. So, you know, we respect what decisions ever made about them. And obviously, we've heard that they've now been, they will continue in this league. So, you know, for us, probably the advantage we had is we had them at home on the first game of the season, which was cancelled. So they've got to come to us. So it probably doesn't affect us too much. And our away fixture is not till December. So, you know, them personally as a team, it hasn't really affected us too much. And all plans will just continue and be put in place as and when we obviously go over there in December and when we find out when we'll be playing them at home.
You alluded to it just a minute ago about the people having weddings. I've been chatting to various managers on and off the record this season, and one of the added problems appears to be the juggle this season on the back of lockdown with holidays and events like weddings and things like that. You know, both the players and indeed managers. I mean, we spoke to Jimmy Dean at Peterborough Sports a few weeks back, and I think he might have even created the fuel crisis with all the miles he was racking up between Peterborough and Devon multiple times. You're trying to fit in a family holiday. Is that one advantage of being a joint manager? Does that give you more of a chance to perhaps dip out one weekend or maybe a training session so the other one can sort of have a bit of a breather?
Well, we're both there trying to be there every session, every game. But I mean, we're at a level of football where everyone's got commitments. So the players, everyone around the club, me and Cole. And yeah, we had that long Vars run. I think I cancelled two breaks with the family during that. Cole cancelled one as well. So, yeah, it's going to happen. People are going to miss. One of us might miss something through work. All our players are obviously catching up on the weddings and holidays and stuff like that. But that's our level of football, I think. I think we've both played at this level and both been in and around football. And when all the lads have had 18 months, where they're inside, sometimes
I think they need, some of them need that personal time and that personal break where they can actually not just sit at home. They can like obviously go on holiday with their family or their missus or whatever it is. And like we're so understanding with it, I think. And it is frustrating because you want to have a regular team and a regular squad and everyone there, but you have to understand it. And I think that's what the lads like about us, is that they don't feel like they have to like be not scared, but they can tell us, and they do tell us in good advance and probably give us a little pip reminder about it. But I think everyone needs to get back to that normality of having something that you've got to look forward to and stuff like that. Football takes over all the time, and it has done during the Vars run and everything that me and Carl and the lads went through. So, yeah, you've just got to deal with it, and that's why we've got such a strong squad, because at the end of the day, we still want to win football games, but we want our lads to enjoy their personal life just as much.
Yeah, I think that's important. Yeah, I'm away from this show. I'm always talking about people are they're the result of their six people that they spend more time with or deal with. You know, other people rub off on you. And yeah, it's great to be a close-knit football club, but you also need some other experience to help you build as a club as well, don't you? You need people from all walks of life within your team and that sort of thing. And it is important that they're given a bit of a loose rein so that they can enjoy life. Football is great. But you just need something beyond that as well to make you a better player and a better person.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Jamie's saying. You know, I think you've got to respect and appreciate everyone's life outside of football. You know, for me and Jamie, you know, our life is football, and we give up a lot of time for the football club and for our players, but we enjoy doing it. I mean, if you spoke to our wives, they'd probably disagree with it, but, you know, we are who we are, and football has been a massive part of our lives for years and years and years, and I don't think that will ever change for us both. So, you know, I think you've always got to remember that everyone's got families outside of football, and people, you know, do come here on their own free will, you know, and people aren't tied into contracts at our level. So you have to respect that, you know, but that's something that's probably put us in good stead and has maybe enabled us to build a squad that we have, because we are accommodating, you know, we are understanding and we do respect it. And, you know, none of our lads have ever taken the mick or abused it. And, you know, as long as they're fair to us, we'll be fair to them. And I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I think maybe you might need to speak to your wife more than me speaking to your wife. But you know, maybe I feel your pain. I feel your pain, because it's a conversation regularly in the Fuel household. Now my daughters are getting older; they join in as well. The village of Binfield emptied to follow you to Wembley for that final back earlier on in the year. Have you noticed an uplift in the crowd since you've got the league season back underway?
I think when we first. Yeah, the first, obviously, two home games. It was Basingstoke, wasn't it? Yeah, they were two big games for the club and for everyone in the league. Everyone looks at the league table and says, look, they're probably they're going to be up there. So, yeah, we did get a massive crowd on the first game and a massive crowd at the local derby, which is amazing. Like, obviously, people then are probably still going to their weddings and holidays and stuff like that. But, yeah, we have noticed it. It's lovely walking around the town and the village and seeing everyone there, and like you can say, oh look, I see, you look at a picture and you could probably pick out 10 people from the village that were at Wembley, which is amazing. Yeah, but it's really picked up, I think, in the crowds, and hopefully it carries on. At the moment that where the rain's come out for a few games, I think it stops a few people. But yeah, looking forward to the next home game, obviously after Northleigh away on Saturday, and yeah, hopefully we just keep the crowds and the people coming in and supporting us.
I think not only that as well, sorry to jump in, but I think it's also, you know, as a club, it is a community club as well, and I think there has been a bigger interest in the junior side of things, and more kids have wanted to come across and play across the Binfield, you know, and that's proud for, you know, me and Doz couldn't be prouder for that to happen, because, you know, this club is all about the community, you know, they, from the bottom right up to the top, it's, you know, they put on and deliver and provide, you know, a place for kids to come and enjoy their football, and for more kids to want to come and be at this club. You know, we're not saying it's all because of us, but I'd like to think there's some impact. You know, we can be prouder to be a part of that, and hopefully long may that continue.
Yeah, you certainly brought the magic to the club, and that ignites, you know, passion for non-league for years to come. FA Trophy, then, you mentioned there, is that, I think it's the first, must be for the first time for the club, that 310 clubs in this season's competition, 69 ties this Saturday in the second qualifying round, so that's 138 clubs this weekend, and yet again, just like in last season's FA Vars, you're drawn away.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to have a home game in any FA competition, to be honest. But that's the exciting thing, going to places. We wouldn't play North League normally. I mean, they're right at the top. They're flying high, and they're obviously a very good side to be doing that. So yeah, it's something that we look forward to, going away and obviously having a big game. And that, I don't know, I think any FA competition just has a little something extra. I couldn't ever tell you what it is or put my finger on it, but they've always got that. There's always like magical moments and stuff like that. And look, we've played 7 games at this level. They've been at the level for, I don't know how long, but at least 4 or 5 seasons that I know. And so yeah, it's exciting to go there and pick yourself up against someone who's right at the top of the league that we've just joined. So yeah, going away from home, it's always that underdog story that we talk about. But yeah, we feel like that. So I can't wait to get going. And hopefully, you never know what's going to happen on Saturday. And hopefully we can look forward to something after that.
Yeah, when I saw the draw, right, I did sort of smile to myself seeing that you were away again, because it's almost like you mentioned there, the underdog, that the, and your team spirit that was built pretty much on coaches going up and down the country last year.
Yeah, it was, and I think, you know, that was what made it even sweeter and prouder to get that way. You know, that we was always up against it every game, but I think that's what brought this squad closer together and put us in good stead. And you know, at times probably got us over the line, that togetherness. So, you know, going away from home, it's nothing that we're not used to. You know, we did it with the Vars run, and obviously we've got to do it on Saturday. And you know, we'll go there. We're looking forward to it. Like Dom said, it's a team that we've probably not played against for many years.
Unknown as well.
And unknown sort of thing. But they're at the top of the league. So, you know, we're under no illusion it's going to be a tough, tough game for us. But one we look forward to. We look forward to.
And I'm guessing there's no pressure from Chairman Bob in this first season at this level. But, you know, what are your aims? To stay in the division and build again?
Well, it'd be nice to win it, wouldn't it, if we win it? But no, yeah. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. We've just joined the league. I mean, we've got players there that have played it and experienced it. We've got players that dropped down last year and the year before to come and join us because it was me and Carl and stuff like that. So yeah, we've got an expectation within the lads and within that me and Carl set, but it's just game by game. I don't think you could ever look towards the end of the season at the start of a season. I think we say it to our lads every week. We prepare for one game at a time and we go from there, and we learn something new every game and we improve every game. And as long as we're doing that, we've got more than enough faith in this squad and this group of players and the club to hopefully achieve something again.
Well, game by game. First up then, FA Trophy this weekend. Carl Withers, Jamie McClurg, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show. Good luck, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, and take care, mate.
So this is fuel with an extra L, and it has nothing to do with the fuel crisis keeping us all on our toes up and down the country. And there's a nice tenuous link for all those that like to abuse me on social media. Our last guests were the Moles. So let's head up country and lose the L and speak to the manager at the Moes. See what I did there. This guy's been on my radar for a while as one of the youngest managers at Step 4. So it's a pleasure to welcome him to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Loughborough Dynamo, Mr. Lee Attenborough. Welcome back, Lee.
Hi, Tim. Nice to be on.
Well, I must thank you too for giving even more time to speak to me this evening. Like many in non-league, your day job is as a teacher, and not only are you juggling football and media interviews, but also parents' evening as well. I mean, do many of the parents know of your other hat?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't really think so. Some of the kids at school follow us, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of it. So I imagine there's a few out there, but I just think this week summed up, you know, summed up non-league management. I've been away in Snowdonia Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on an A-level trip. I come straight in Wednesday night, got my football kit on, straight out to training, back in tonight for open evening, and now speaking to you on the way home. So very busy at the minute, but enjoying every minute.
And those managers at the top echelons of football, so they'd like to know, so that they're busy. I mentioned that you're one of the youngest managers. You've been in this role, I think, since you were 27. You're ancient now at 31. You recently racked up 100 games in management, and that's no mean feat with the two abortive seasons we've had either. Are you one of those that keeps his own records of every game, or do you leave that up to others?
Do you know, no, when I got to 75 games, I kept an eye on it. I thought, I will count up, count up or count down to the 100. But like I say, with COVID and everything, I kind of lost track. Then we had a pre-season in between, and to be honest, I stopped thinking about it. And it was only, I was literally walking out after half-time of the game at the weekend, and it came on the tannoy and they announced that it was 100 games, and it caught me by surprise as well. But obviously, I knew it was on the horizon. I've been in the club 4.5 years now, 3.5 as manager, and I've had 2 spells there as a player. So I feel like I spent a lot of time at Loughborough. But like I say, I think I said in an interview last week, it's difficult at this level to stay in a job for so long. So obviously, proud of what we've done, proud of my achievements. But at the same time, stay grounded. I know, there's a long way to go for me in management, and still got a hell of a lot to learn. So might feel like I'm doing it for a long time. But yeah, plenty more still to go.
Yeah, and this wasn't your first management job either, was it? I think you started off step 7 with Selby Town, and step 6 with Ashby Ivanhoe. But you also had a decent non-league playing career as well before that. And for those that don't know, could you explain how you ended up retiring as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I was a steady player, nothing special. I mean, step 4 was probably my level, being completely honest. Like I say, 2 spells at Colville, 2 spells at Loughborough. And to cut a long story short, I was on a cycle, charity bike ride for cancer research, got hit by a car, hit and run, broke my back and broke my neck. So I had to retire from playing at the age of sort of 25, might have been 26, and then got an opportunity to go into non-league management at step 7, just at Leicestershire Senior League. And from there, just progressed really, got an opportunity at step 6 to Ashby Ivanhoe. I think we did quite well there, got 50 points from 25 games, first cup final the club had ever been in. And a bloke called Pete Ward, who's now the assistant at Leek Town, was the manager at Loughborough Dynamo at the time, and he gave me a call and said, look, I've seen you done well. I'm looking for someone local who knows the level to come and help me. How are you fixed? So I decided to take the step up. And then a year later, Pete went on to retire, and the club trusted me with it. And it, for me, I suppose it's nice, really, because at the time, there were a few snipes around the local area, giving it to a 26-year-old, the club deserves to go down, it's a risk, it's this, it's that. And I always trusted, my football knowledge, my knowledge of the area, the local scene, and backed myself to do a good job. We kept a few people quiet in that first season or two, and now I think we've just established ourselves where no one bats an eyelid when they see, me in interviews and speaking to people and whatever else. So, yeah, it's been a steep learning curve, not going to lie. Been ups and downs, and there's been times where I've wondered if it's worth it, but it absolutely is. And like I say, for me, it's about progressing now, and with Loughborough, and trying to improve it and keep going and building on what we've done, and hopefully in the future see where that takes me.
So you glossed over it there. Quite an horrific tale when you're a player at that level and you're trying to do some good for other people, which seems to be a part, very much your ethic as well. It's a story about non-league, really, isn't it? Of the grit and determination that we talk about week in, week out about non-league players. Do you think you would have always ended up in the dugout, even if you ended up there earlier than you hope?
Do you know, people ask me this all the time, and the answer is I have no idea. I've coached a lot. I've been to America and coached in upstate New York. So, obviously, I've always loved football. I've always been involved in it. But because my playing days were still relatively young at the age of 25, I still felt like I had my best days ahead of me, especially as a centre-half. You mature a little bit later. So I still felt like I had my best to give. And then, obviously, an accident that changed my life, really. So maybe management. I think I'd more thought about coaching because that's obviously what my sort of background was in. But like you say, sometimes you stumble upon an opportunity and you run with it. And so far so good. We've done, done well. So, we'll just go and see where that takes us. But I have now sort of got a bit between my teeth where, I'm not going to lie. When I first took over that job at step 4, I was nervous about it. I can't say that I wasn't. It's, people say it's only step 4 football. You're only playing in front of a few hundred, but it's a big responsibility. You've got a club there that's been around for, best part of 80 years, and they've got volunteers. They've got chairmen that love the club, they've got people that run it behind the scenes, people that work in the kitchen, the bar, and you're kind of shouldering all that because they're looking at you and thinking, are you going to take this team forward or are we going to struggle under your sort of stewardship? So for me it's nice now because I think if you look through the records, but the season that I came in with Pete, we finished 1 point above the relegation zone. When I was assistant manager, we finished 17th, and since then we've we've been 11th, we've been 6th or 7th, and then before the lockdown curtailed us, we were top of the league. And this year, we're sitting in 6th place with a game in hand, hopefully going to the playoffs. So, you know, sometimes I get bogged down with each and every game individually and worrying about where we're at and how we're doing. But sometimes you've got to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. And I have to say, you know, we, so far so good. And I keep saying I and we, but I'm talking about myself and my assistant Brad, who's been with me every step of the way. You know, we've done a decent job there. I mean, it's not job done, but so far so good. And like I keep saying, hopefully we can look forward to a bright future.
Yeah, you mentioned last season, yeah, curtailment, you were doing so well. And now as a manager, dealing with that kind of disappointment and frustration, is that actually harder to deal with than the usual daily grind when the season's underway?
It was a tough one last year because, I mean, obviously with the position we were in, but I think when they initially curtailed the season, it was raw. So for a good couple of months, it was frustrating. I wouldn't say angry about it. You know, we can't help, no one can help what happened with the pandemic. But obviously we felt like we were in a great position, you know, not necessarily saying we're going to go on to win the league, but you know, we had a good cushion between ourselves and sixth place, so you'd like to think we'd have made the playoffs. But, you know, it's still early days at the end of the day. We were 10, 11 games in, so quarter of the season done. And you felt like you're on the cusp of something pretty amazing for the club. And obviously that got snatched away from us. But at the same time, again, when you look at perspective and bigger picture, you know, there's bigger problems in the world. People have lost family members and loved ones and all the rest of it. So I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, we might have missed out on a playoff spot. We love Predynamo. It is what it is. We stomach it. We move on. And we try and sort of repeat what we did last season and bring it into this season. And yeah, we didn't have a great start, to be honest. First three games, we didn't have a point. But we settled the team down. Lads have hit a bit of form. And like I say, I think we've won 6 out of 7 now. So hopefully back on the right track and getting a bit more towards what we looked like last season.
And you're in that new division as well, created this season, the Northern Premier League, Midlands, several new clubs in there from last term that were in your South East division. There's also two from Step 5 and additional clubs from the Southern League Central and Isthmian North. Has that been tougher or nice to go to new locales?
I'll say a bit of both. I mean, to be fair, it's always nice to go to new places and see new grounds, play new teams. But from a manager's point of view, obviously I like to do my homework on the opposition, like to do my research and know, you know, tactics, shape, what players they might play, what the danger men are and maybe the weak links. And every season when they shuffle the leagues around, you seem to lose touch on what's going on in certain places. You know, we did it a couple of years ago when we had all the northern teams like Marsk and Morpeth and Tadcaster. You just finally get to grips with the teams that are in your league and then it all changes again. So it's just another challenge that non-league throws up. But, you know, I don't like to go into games blind. I like to give my players as much information as I can. So it's about, you know, getting out there as much as I can when we've not got games, try and get eyes everywhere and do as much sort of homework as we can. But ultimately at this level, I always say, if you concentrate on yourselves and your lads are at it, you know, you can beat anybody. Likewise, with the league being so tight, if you're not at it, you can equally lose every game. So I think first and foremost, you prepare, you know, yourselves and look after your own ship, if you like. But at the same time, yeah, it's nice on one hand, like say, the new grounds and the new people and all the rest of it. But it does make my job that little bit more difficult.
One of those from Step 5 from the Midland League Sporting Council, they're your visitors on the Saturday in the FA Trophy. You beat them 6-2 earlier in the league this season, but the cups are always very different, aren't they?
Yeah, completely. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't a 6-2 game. It's one of those games, it was fairly timing. We shaded it, don't get me wrong, we were the better team on the day. But I felt like in that particular game, we scored at the right times. You know, if you score at good times, we hit a couple to go up early. We took one on the stroke of our time. Everything seemed to fall into place that day. You know, on another day, it might have been slightly different. And at the same time, since then, you know, they've gone and had a decent cup run. You know, they beat Step 3 Gainsborough. I think they had a game where they won 6-5 the other day, so we know they can score goals, but at the same time we look to exploit the fact that they've conceded a few, and hopefully that psychological advantage that we've already, you know, beat them once this season, hopefully will give us confidence and make them sort of you know, fear us in a sense. But like I say, cup games, it's a one-off. You know, I'm sure they'll throw the sink if there's 10-15 minutes left and the game's in the balance, or you know, we're one up and vice versa. So yeah, proper boxing match, if you like. Pretty tight in the league. I think they're 6 points behind us, but they've got a game in hand on us. So, yeah, two well-matched sides, and I'm expecting a good game because, to be fair to Calcer, they knock it around, they get it on the deck, and they'll move us about. So, got to be organised, got to be ready for it.
Yeah, and where does the FA Trophy rank in this season's aims?
It's a tough one for me because it's massive for the club in terms of finances. You know, the club, we need to win on Saturday. You know, it's good for the coffers. But at the same time, I run a very, very small squad. So cup games bring about, you know, more chances of suspensions, injuries and things like that. You want to try and get lads minutes. So it's a balancing act because you want to win the game. But at the same time, want to make sure we have a look at everybody and make sure people get the chance to showcase what they can do. So what I would say is, and I said to my players on Wednesday, you know, maybe a couple of changes, but don't for 1 minute mistake in that for the fact that we don't want to win that game of football, because we absolutely do. So yeah, like I say, we'll be fully prepared. We're ready. The lads looked good last night at training. So yeah, in terms of ranking it, look, it's one of them. I say every year, we're not going to win the FA Cup, but we'd like to progress in that. It's very, very unlikely you win the trophy, but at the same time, a cup run would be nice. And you know, you've only got to look at Halesowen a couple of years ago, got to the semi-final, played some great games, you've got some massive crowds, and for us, I think that's a goal for a lot of our players. Yeah, they're playing step four, but a lot of them have got ability to go, you know, go up the pyramid, especially the young lads, and you know, giving them that experience of playing in big games in front of big crowds would be absolutely ideal. And the same for myself as a manager, you know, I want to test myself in front in those, you know, those conditions in those stadiums against those sorts of teams. So yeah, it is important we win Saturday and obviously showcase what we can do.
Yeah, teaching managers have a decent track record non-league. Danny Cowley, of course, formerly of this parish, a notable successor. Do you think it helps that you're by day you're effectively directing young lives, and the modern manager, that's possibly the most essential quality for success as well.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing we look for as well is we're a fairly small club with modest resources, and in some senses that can be a real challenge. But at the same time, it means that I have to take gambles on younger players. You know, I think sort of like three of my, in fact, no, let's go big, it's probably five or six of my starting 11 now are players that I've got from step six and step five. Young players that have felt like they could step up and we've improved them to the point where they now look good at step four. And some of them will go on to bigger and better things, got no doubt about that. So yeah, it's a double-edged sword in terms of budget and things. We pride ourselves really on giving young lads chances. There's another couple this week that we've had at training. So we have to kind of do that, and our hands are tied in one aspect, but at the same time, it means you get together hungry lads that want to play in the right way and are willing to take on instruction. You know, I'm not against having some experience in there, but it's got to be the right kind of experience. You know, we don't want people that just hop from club to club and just after a payday or anything like that. If we bring in experience, it's got to be for the right reasons. So yeah, and like you say shaping lives, but you know, I always say to lads, if you're a good, honest lad and you're willing to work hard and you want to learn, you do well at my club. And if you're not, then it's probably not, you know, not the right place for you. So we try and recruit carefully as well, so that we don't get many situations where it doesn't work out. And obviously, there is always going to be the odd one. But yeah, I like to think we do give young lads opportunities, the same way that the club gave me an opportunity.
Yeah. What about sort of the older players then? You know, I guess, you know, we talk about clubs often needing an old head in the middle there, maybe a centre-half and that sort of thing. I guess many of those have still got plenty of years still on you. How do you manage people that are maybe more experienced than you, but you know, you're coming from a gaffer's point of view?
Yeah, another question you get asked a lot. I mean, to be honest, now it's not an issue because people have seen that I've done it for 4 years, 4.5 years. They've seen the track record's good, so the trust is automatically there. Obviously, in my early days, I always remember we had a centre-half called Luke Foster, who's played in the Football League, played for Preston, Stevenage, Mansfield, a few good clubs. And people said, yeah, what's it like managing him? And I said, absolutely fine. Because once he's in the dressing room with me and he sees me going through the tactics on the board and he listens to the team talks, now we want to set the team up, there's that instant respect that he looks at me and goes, right, he knows what he's doing. I also understand that he's a very good player and he's played the level. And I show him the respect in that way, give him the responsibility that he sort of deserves. And I think for me, it's just about being open and honest. You know, I try and be where I can, completely transparent with players. I always say one advantage of being young is that because we've played so recently, that I feel like I know what players want, you know, in terms of what they want from training when they've had a hard, you know, hard week at work, digging up civils, whatever they've been doing. You know, and there's places for all sorts of people in football. I'll give you an example. I've had, you know, UEFA A licensed coaches who have come in, coached for us, and it hasn't really worked out because there's a certain style of coaching, the more maybe academy based. And then you realise that the non-league lads don't kind of buy into that as much. And at the same time, you get a coach who maybe hasn't got all the qualifications, but has been around the block in terms of non-league and just gets the scene and gets the lads. So I think it's a balancing act with everything, and people don't realise that. And you're right about having players older than me. I mean, you look at the spine of my team. I've got Michael Jacklin, played the Conference North. You know, he's older than me. My captain, Rob Norris in midfield, played God knows how many hundred of games at this level. He's an ex-teammate of mine, so someone that I really trust in there. Guides the young lads well. And a striker called Alex Steadman, who's got a few years on me as well. But again, you know, it's just that mutual respect, really. and the open, honest relationships I've got with those guys that well, at the moment, make it work. And that obviously has given me, you know, the chance now to sort of stamp my authority on the team, shape it, show proven progress, which then means that lads sort of automatically trust you, whereas before I felt like I was having to earn that trust a lot more than I do now. I kind of feel like you get it a little bit easier now, you know.
Yeah, well, I think certainly, you know, the way you speak, that the what you've achieved already, you're certainly proving that you know what you're doing. It's been great to get you on the Non-League Football Show, Lee. Appreciate your time. Best of luck at the weekend, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Nice to be on.
So, rounding off this week's news, time, as ever, to head on over to Non-League Paper Towns, our destination at the end of the show. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Editor-at-Large, Mr. Matt Bagot. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, you were quite good last time, so I thought I'd give you another
stint.
Thought
you'd lost my number last week.
It's FA Trophy this weekend, second qualifying round, and we've spoken to the managers at Loughborough Dynamo and Binfield, but I'm guessing the headlines for the paper on Sunday, they're likely to be coming from the National League. Grimsby Town at the top of the table, but they've got a really tough trip to Woking this weekend, who have been in good form themselves.
Yeah, Woking had a good few results, haven't they? Obviously on Tuesday night beating Dagenham, who obviously been flying well themselves, and sort of on the back of beating Notts County 4-1 on Saturday. I think that they've also picked up a result against Chesterfield at some point. So yeah, they're coming in on the back of in decent form. I mean, that's it. And yeah, Wrexham, they've really we always sort of talk about, don't we, sort of the clubs that come down and adapt into life in the National League and how they kind of deal with it. And obviously we see Southend and the sort of struggles that they've been having. Grimsby have taken to it completely. And I guess that's sort of helped by the fact that Paul Hurst, the manager, knows all about this league, having won promotion out of it before. I went and saw them a few weeks ago. Went up to Grimsby and had my chips and fish and chips, and saw them against Wrexham, and Grimsby were really, really good, really impressed with them. And you can sort of see why they're up there. And their win on Tuesday night against Altrincham have been going all right themselves as well. Was another good one. And you can see the kind of the buzz that's around that club at the moment. The fact that, you know, the home attendances are bigger than when their average the year they got promoted out of this division, and they're taking, you know, huge away following. Their away following has always been noisy and large, and it's proven again at the moment, and they seem to be almost enjoying themselves at the moment.
And is it an interesting point that you make about Paul Hurst knowing the level? I think it's also important that the fans know the level as well, because, you know, you're saying about unrest at other clubs, and it is almost as if your fans don't understand how good non-league is if they're coming straight out of the Football League and haven't experienced it before.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, this is not their first rodeo, is it? They've been to Braintree and lost 5-0 and experienced those kind of, you know, that sort of realisation of what it's actually like in this division, which is sort of a real mix. And we've seen sort of the clubs how long it sort of takes clubs to kind of get back out, and the managers who kind of do it, and when you speak to them, they always sort of make that point of kind of the fans kind of getting their heads around it, and the club as a whole getting their head around the sort of situation that they're in, and Grimsby fans know all about it. They know it's not going to be easy, and kind of in a weird way, they know they're probably not the most fancied ones this year. Everyone, you know, all the pre-season kind of talk was obviously Wrexham, Notts County, Stockport County, Chesterfield. It was kind of more along those lines. And Grimsby sort of, you know, playoff kind of was the talk. I mean, you know, they could maybe get in the playoffs, but they kind of know what they're coming into, and that's kind of helped. But I think also the fact that the club's had a takeover in the summer, sort of things that the club are kind of doing off the pitch, and they've created like fan zones down there before the games, which is sort of getting people along. And there's just a real sort of real kind of buzz about the place, and it's sort of just like tangible when I went up there to the game. You could just kind of like, you know, feel it, and it helps when you're winning games, which is the ultimate thing, isn't it? At the end of each week, if you won a game, life does feel a bit better, doesn't it, I guess, in football.
It always makes everybody smile a little bit more and pull together. But it's also, I remember having a conversation many, many years ago with Gary Sweet when he first came in as CEO at Luton Town, and that was the one thing that they knew they had to embrace. I had to make sure that the fans understood, you know, the quality that was available at non-league, and it wasn't a gimme that they were going to make their way back up. And then you only then have to look at how successful they've been on the back of that once they have climbed out of non-league. If clubs are go about it the right way, then there's almost no end to the future success.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that we see so often, is how clubs bounce on pretty quickly if they get it right. And I don't know as such, I'm not a Grimsby fan, but I imagine sort of seeing Lincoln, their rivals, kind of bounce through the way they have was pretty tough to see at times. I assume that it wasn't, you imagine that it wasn't particularly enjoyable seeing that while they were kind of struggling. But you know, you look at that sort of top seven of the National League as it is now, and the clubs outside it, Woking and Altrincham, and you know, the fact that Notts County and Stockport are in 10th and 11th at the moment, Wrexham are 12th, kind of those three there. I know it is very early days and we're not really sort of, you know, into the meat of the season at all, but that kind of just shows what this kind of league is, and that none of those three that kind of were talked about at the beginning are right up there. I mean, they're not, obviously they're not far off it, are they? Notts County, they're only a point behind the playoffs, and but they are already eight behind Grimsby. But you know, there's a lot of football still to be played. But it's just kind of just illustrating, you know, what kind of the challenges that this league kind of always throws up.
Yeah,
every year, and because it makes it so, that's why it makes it so enjoyable to watch.
I mean, that strength in depth is amazing, really. And you know, another big game up there at the top, Bournemouth against Dagenham and Redbridge this weekend. Again, like where you're saying that so many things can change, it's so tight up the top there. If one of those clubs wins and gets a 3-point steer away from the other club, then it makes a massive difference at the top of the table. And I can see this one going right down to the wire. I can't really see a club running, being able to run away because of the strength of all the other clubs that are in the league.
Yeah, I think we saw that last year where it was kind of, at one point we kind of had four. It was getting to the end of the season, four, you know, which four could do it, and slowly kind of clubs dropped away and it was eventually Sutton and Torquay, and then Sutton got themselves over the line. It was, you know, one of the best sort of kind of title races we've had, and you know, we've had some good ones, but you know, from a sort of the amount of clubs kind of fighting for the title, and it was always that kind of shame that there was no fans in there, which would have, you know, really built the whole thing up even more. And you know, we always like to say how this is one of the most exciting divisions in the country, and it helps when the football kind of backs that sort of theory up on the, you know, each week, and kind of the entertainment and not knowing, and that's kind of what keeps everybody interested and fascinated by this division, and the fact that they were always, without, you know, seemingly without fail, there's always a couple of surprise clubs up there who are kind of pushing right to the end as well to get into that sort of top seven. And I think that's been one of the successes of the extension of the playoffs to six clubs. That has kind of added an extra part of, you know, extra thing into the rest of the season, where, you know, clubs can really sort of shoot for that seventh spot, you know, right up until the end. There's always a handful of clubs who can kind of still make it, and it keeps the season going on longer and longer. And I think I was a bit sceptical when they sort of first announced, thinking, well, how far do you go down when you sort of, you know, you go down to, you know, all the way through, and let everybody have a bash at the playoffs. And but, you know, I think we've actually in seriousness sort of kind of seen the value of it.
Yeah, it has worked really, really well. You know, we saw Chesterfield managed to make the playoffs last year after a poor start, and then new manager. I mean, I don't want to write them off already, but down at the bottom this weekend, again, is it a 6-pointer for sides like Dover and Barnet? You know, Dover still without a win, and Barnet still without a permanent manager.
Yeah, it's kind of not been an ideal start for either. I mean, we always know Dover are sort of kind of up against that 12-point deduction and kind of all the challenges that the club's been going through. And I think sort of still their focus is just going to be as quickly as possible to get into to 0 points and then kind of build on from there. But it is an intriguing kind of early season game between the two. And Dover, they might even sort of think, oh, we could try and, you know, this is an opportunity for us to get another chunk of those points back. But Barnet, obviously, the changes that they've made in the last week and kind of how that's gone and getting that win and kind of hopefully feeling a little bit better about things. I mean, maybe they can start sort of moving in the right direction now.
Oh, and talking of managers, you know, it's another week of hello goodbye on that merry-go-round. Kevin Watson became the latest in a long line of names on that former manager list at Billericay. They're going to have to put a new board up, I think, in the National South. Understandable, I guess, but bottom with no wins, one draw from six.
I think, yeah, it's sort of kind of a bit, you know, feel for Kev. He's always been, you know, hugely generous with his time to us, and lots of good conversations with him, and I felt, you know, he did. I think he sort of felt quite hard, probably felt hard done by Ipswich, really, because they were sort of doing so well when he was there, really, and he kind of, you know, if it hadn't been for that points per game, he would have fancied keeping them up that season. They went down by one of the most, you know, narrowest margin. Couldn't have been any narrower the margin they went down by in that first sort of curtailed season, and Billericay, I think it's different to what it was a couple of years ago there now. You know, it's not that same kind of club that's sort of powered up with the well documented sort of spending under Glenn Tamplin, and they've sort of changed and going through a real period of transition, and it's not been an easy start. You know, they had a good win in the FA Cup a couple of weeks ago against Braintree, and I think it was sort of kind of turning, and yeah, so feel for Kevin. It's not been easy, but it's one of those jobs that people will fancy. And as you say, the merry-go-round's been spinning quite a bit already, and here we go again.
It is. I mean, it's plenty of very, very good out-of-work managers with very credible CVs. Another one, Gavin Cowan, going at AFC Telford in the National North. They're third from bottom with a win and a draw from six games. But I guess that, you know, for me being involved with a Step 3 club and knowing how difficult it is to get out of Step 3, that's why clubs are so desperate to make sure that they stay in Step 2.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's kind of noticeable, isn't it? In that across the two divisions in National League South, the bottom three have all changed their managers. It stands with Welling and Hemel. In National League North, Gloucester obviously made their change, their second bottom, and you know, you definitely argue they should be doing a lot better than they are. But yeah, it is. It's kind of close and try and make those changes early to try and, you know, get an upturn in their fortunes before it kind of becomes sticky as you get into this sort of real kind of busy period that we're about to get into. So I think that's kind of a lot of the reasons behind it and why clubs will want to be changing. I think it's been interesting as well, though, this week and today we've had Chester obviously had a very difficult result the other night against Mask, and they, you know, dumped out the FA Cup by a low league team, and things haven't quite been happening for them. And today the club have come out and backed Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley and said that they're going to sort of work with them to try and get through this sort of difficult period. So there is kind of the other side of it as well. And, you know, nobody likes to see managers losing their jobs, but unfortunately, we seem to have hit that season already in
It is a results business, but it was nice to see Jono and Bernard getting that vote of confidence. Hopefully, not in the traditional sense that we've seen in the past, but it was one game, and I think, you know, knowing those two as well, they're probably more disappointed than anybody else with that result. They'll be looking to pick themselves up, and as we always say, it's all about the season, not just one game. And I mean, talking of FA Cup, though, we've had the replays now, as you say, Chester and Mask going through. The draw ahead of next weekend's fourth and final qualifying round, it's thrown up five Step 4 against Step 1 ties, which should make for an interesting weekend ahead next week.
Yeah, it's kind of been brilliant, really, the fourth round qualifying draw. I mean, we were kind of standing in the office trying to kind of cover it off this week, and there's almost too many good ties to talk about with the space we've got. And I was talking to Neil Young, Marine manager, earlier, and they're getting through their replay against Atherton Collieries the other night. which was a tight game by all accounts, and kind of had everything. So there's a great cup tie, more than 1,000 people there watching it, and you know, they're getting ready for Wrexham next. It's Pontefract College, we've got FC Halifax Town, yeah, Chertsey going to Southend, and that's kind of the other way around. But it's so many good ties in this round, isn't it? I kind of always stuck in my mind a couple of years ago when I went to Potter's Bar versus Barnet, and kind of thinking, well, this isn't the first round proper of the FA Cup, but it had all the feeling of that kind of day and what it kind of meant to people at the club, and you know, the sort of the imagination that it captures among the public, and these are, you know, people talk about that magic of the FA Cup, and for me it really is still around, even, you know, particularly in these stages. And all the games that kind of teams are looking forward to. You know, you've got Stamford going to Stockport, Step 3 Bromsgrove Sporting, got Grimsby coming. You know, there's so many fantastic ties throughout this round. We've had it in the, you know, the previous rounds as well, with you know, Ware taking the kiddie to a replay, and kind of Hanley as Brackley. You know, all these sort of amazing kind of, you know, brilliant stories to be writing about each week. And you know, there's going to be plenty more next week. And out of those, we're going to get some shocks for sure.
Yeah, so plenty to preview, I guess, this weekend. Plenty to report on this weekend, and plenty to read on Sunday morning. Anything else in particular we can look out for?
Yeah, but obviously, say big sort of FA Cup focus. You mentioned Woking earlier. I was seeing him right. David Richardson was at the Woking Dagenham game the other night, so we've got a nice Woking piece. Spoken to Paul Cox about Kettering and sort of reclaiming their FA Cup record of goals, but also kind of how well it's been going this season and how sort of the progress they've been making. A piece of Corinthian Casuals and plenty more. Chelmsford City Chairman Steve Shaw has written an interesting column kind of about protecting the sort of young players that they have through their academies, and how they can sort of get more protection from sort of the so-called bigger clubs. So plenty in there this week, but lots and lots of match action. As you said, FA Trophy, lots of Step 4 clubs in FA Trophy action as they come in after in the second round, so qualified. So there's lots going on. It's going to be a really busy Saturday, and hopefully our server doesn't go down like it did 2 weeks ago.
Well, I wish you well with making sure that
I don't need that again.
Well, it was a strange Sunday morning. It was like turning up to a game that actually been postponed. I felt your pain as well, because we know how hard you worked at the non-league paper, and you know, sometimes the things just trip us up, but we look forward to a better weekend for yourself. Well, thank you for joining us on the non-league football show, and I'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim.
And another week done. That's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests, for everybody that listens, and don't forget to tell your friends. Swell the numbers. Help with building volunteers, as Sean Hollander mentioned earlier on in the show. And if you've got any volunteering opportunities at your club, please do get in contact with us, or get in contact with Sean, and let's try and let other people understand why we love non-league football. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there, at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also now on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GeoSavin, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Public, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites, and I'm sure many that aren't very good as well. Now, stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you, and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.